Online Sunday School today, and I thank you for tuning in, being with us today. Today, I want to just talk to you a little bit about teaching others and what we think we're going to need to do in this year to come. As we know, the way things have changed in the last year, and we've been online, and a lot of folks out of church, and now we're doing our new renovation, going to have a new look in our Lastly Auditorium. We're excited about what's going to happen. I've been talking to the pastor and how we're going to re-engage our church, our people, and teaching the Word is come back down to where we know today as a society, we've seen where things have went, that we've got some generations that know not the Lord. They don't know the Word. They don't know the Bible. It's been forgotten. We can look at the Old Testament patterns and see how the nation of Israel, over years and years of living away from God and in His Word, that there was generations completely forgot what God's Word even said. So I kind of think it's easy to say back to the basics, but as I was talking to Pastor Herbin this week, you know, we've talked about this and that and teaching this and that, and really back to the basics, I think, for a while. And not only for a while, but we need to catch this generation up. We need to catch the next generation up. There's all kinds of levels of different teaching, different people that we need to teach. So as we go forward today, I want you to keep that in mind. Keep in mind, what could you do? What can you teach? How can you teach? We all have an ability to teach someone in our family, in our grandchildren, our children, our friends, neighbors, and then here at church teaching. You know, a lot of us here now have been teaching many, many years. I know that I've been probably teaching 30 years, maybe a little bit more. And there's others here in the church who have been approaching 50 years teaching. And, you know, we need to get the next generation to step up and understand the Word and be able to train in the Word and understand how to teach. So we're going to be looking at that aspect a little bit this morning. So before we get started, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll pray and then get started hearing some of God's Word. Lord, we thank you for your love for us. God, we thank you for your Word. It is so deep. It is so rich. There's something new every day for us. Lord, we just pray that you give me the words here this morning to try to help folks understand the next step here at Buffalo Ridge and what we're going to do and try to do and plan to do. And Lord, we'd like to see folks step up and be involved and get involved in teaching others also. Lord, we thank you for your love and thank you for what you did on the cross. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. I know the title of the lesson was the New Testament patterns of Bible teaching, which the best teacher in the Bible, I think, is Jesus himself. And we can look at that here in a little bit in his Sermon on the Mount and some of the things that he said there and the patterns that he uses to teach those folks at that time. But I want to get back. I want to encourage us a little bit. I know a lot of times you think, well, I can't teach. I can't do that. You know, when I first started teaching, I was scared to death. I didn't know nothing. I had never taught a class. And one of the deacons came to me in a little independent fundamental church in West Virginia, and he said, you know, we need you to teach a class. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't know that I can ever do that. Well, with God's help, you can do that. You can teach a class, or you can discipleship. And we're going to talk about both those things. It's all a teaching in what level we can teach at. And Pastor Herbin needs to know if you're willing to learn. We need to know here at church if you're willing to learn how to teach and have the desire to teach. And let us help you and give you the tools over this next year to re-engage, and we're going to be teaching others about Christ. Now, let's go back to Joshua. I think Joshua is a good chapter that he was getting engaged because Moses had just passed away. He was going to have to take and lead the nation of Israel across the Jordan River and take the promised land. And God gave him a lot of encouragement. And I think that encouragement, it has spoke to me in different times of my life. And here it is speaking again. So we see the situation to where God is encouraging Joshua to be strong. And we go down there in verse 6 of chapter 1 in Joshua. And it says, be strong and of good courage. So God's saying, be strong and have courage. I'm going to be with you. You know, and he goes into the next verse and he says it again. Only be strong and very courageous. And then we go on down in that right there in verse 8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And thou shalt mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I like to apply that to teaching or anything that we do. If we go by the book, this book, it says, the law, the word of God, study it, don't let it depart from thy mouth. And it says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success in teaching others. Have I not commanded thee, be strong? Again, here he is again saying, God's saying, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest. So God's with us. When we decide if we're going to try to teach, God likes to take somebody that says, I don't think I can do this on my own. And God can take that person. He can take me, just an old Creek boy from Boone County, West Virginia, and use me to start teaching young people years and years ago. And since then, I've taught all kinds of classes and all different age groups. God's allowed me to be able to understand the word enough. I mean, I'm not there, never will be there, and got tools and used the tools that are available today. And again, we have to be careful about the internet, and we have to be careful about the computer. There's stuff on there that's good, but there's stuff on there that's not good, and we have to watch out in opinions on what men say on the internet. Now, we have some good sources here. We have Power Bible CD, which is a really good tool. And we have those here at church. They have all kinds of commentaries and dictionaries and word searches. And I searched the word teach in the New Testament the other day. And you know that right before the word teach, it says preach. So everywhere in the New Testament, it's saying preach and teach, preach and teach. On and on and on it says preach and teach. Well, we've got a good preacher. Lord's blessed us with a good preacher, teacher. Now it's time, who's going to step up and do all this teaching? We need teachers. We need a new generation of teachers. We need people to step up and say, God, help me be the one to pass it on to the next generation. Now let's look a little bit more there at the Old Testament. Before we go to the New Testament, we can look at more examples. Moses was a great teacher. He used God's word to teach the people. And then we can see how the next generation he was talking about here, the Jewish families, they were responsible for teaching it to the next generation. Just as much as we are today, God will bless your family if you teach the word of God at home and talk about it. And talk about it in a way that just have a conversation. Our conversations don't need to get deep. You know, when you're talking to folks, a lot of times they want to rabbit trail off and talk about this or that or revelations. And in today's world, you always got people saying, well, is this the end times and all that? And that's all fine to talk about. But when it really gets down to it, what are you trusting in for your salvation? And how do they answer? Well, I go to this church or that church, or I belong to this church, or I'm in the church. I mean, you can get all kinds of answers. And we need to be able to say, well, really, what are you trusting in? And can you take God's word and show me what you're trusting in? Most people can't. And sad to say, most of us can't take God's word and lead somebody to Christ. How long has it been since you took the word? I know this year's been bad. I know that. It's give us opportunities. It's at least give me opportunities to in the business world to be able to talk to folks, and it opens up doors of conversation. Are you saved? How's your church doing? Are you online or not online? I mean, all those kind of conversations needs to go around, but come right back to the main thing. Are you trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? That is the simplicity truth of God's Word. God loves people and He wants people to be saved. He's calling them to salvation. We have preachers and we have teachers that's going to be able to do that with people. And it depends on what level you feel like you can be in. Our church is going to go to the next level. Let's move on. Well, we can look at Old Testament. We can look at Nehemiah. Let's think about Nehemiah in the Old Testament. There he was building the wall, and they found the book. And they started reading out of the book. And can you imagine going to a church service, and they read the word all day long, and they stay in there and listen to it. And they were happy to hear it and happy to get it. Back when they found the book, generations had passed and had not heard the word. It's just another example of how God's word can get left down. Now let's move to the New Testament here. I wanted to go to the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of the best examples of New Testament teaching is our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Him teaching, preaching, teaching, but it really says, if you really look at, go into, let's see, chapter 5 is the beginning of the service, Matthew chapter 5. And it says in verse 2, this is talking about Christ. He's getting ready to give the Sermon on the Mount. And it says in verse 2, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, taught them. Now, most of the time you hear Sermon on the Mount. Well, He's up there on this mountain and He's preaching. Can you see Him preaching? He was teaching. He was teaching a cross-section of people in that day. See, we have to know who we're teaching to. And Christ, if you really dig down into this thing, dig down into the Word and understand what He was doing, you had Jews there and Gentiles there. You had the Roman government representatives there. You most likely had Roman soldiers there. You probably had some Greeks, Hebrews, all across that part of the world. It was a crossroad of society at the time. And the things that He spoke in this will speak to us today. I was reading through it here the other day, and let's move over to something that was really interesting to me. In chapter 5 there, let's go down to verse 41. A very interesting verse right there. Now, this goes back to learning in the school of the Bible that we took down at Crown for 2 years. Learning, there was a semester on teaching the Bible. I've talked to Pastor Herb, and we think we're going to try to start the Tri-State School of the Bible again this coming fall semester, and go back into this again and start teaching these fresh, they're basically freshman college classes. But anyway, one of the things that it does is there in teaching the Word, and when you get to reading the Word, what does this passage really say? Who's it talking to and who's it talking about? So if you go back to that verse right there, kind of applies to today. You can take God's word. It's so alive, and it so means what it means today as we look at it. And you look a little deeper into this, and you can read by this But then you stop and say, well, now, what was he saying? And it says there in verse 41 in chapter 5, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Well, I can remember my dad telling me, now, you go to work, and Grandma used to say, now, you need to go the second mile. I never really linked that back to that right there, but that's where they got that. Go the second mile. And I'm sure some of us have heard that. Maybe not this generation. You need to go the second mile. You need to do the job the best you can do and go beyond that. You know, if you just take that into the workplace, you will prosper wonderfully. It's just go the second mile. Now, why did he say that? You know, here we go. On studying the Bible, you don't just go to the surface. This Bible, not a thing, his God's word, is as deep as the ocean. And we can't just, in the ocean, you just look at the surface. You put your face mask down, and I scuba dive a lot, and look down into the ocean, and it is so alive. There's so much, and the more you look down, the more you see. Same thing with God's word. Just go to the next level. And you can go to a commentary or something, a dictionary, or somebody that's made a comment on this chapter, and look at that and say, well, what's he talking about there? If somebody compels me? Well, here was the law of the land. If you really think about it, at this time, you had a government that was oppressive on the Jewish people. They had laws in place that they had to comply by, and the Jewish nation was really held in control by the laws of the Roman Empire. And one of the laws was that if a soldier was walking down the road, or if a column of soldiers came down the road, I was in Italy for a while during the military, and I saw the old Roman roads. And one of the things that made them a powerful nation was they had roadways, and they could run their militaries on their roadways and go from one area to the next very quickly. But the law said if the Roman soldiers were coming down the road and you were on the road and one of them compelled you to carry their gear, you had to carry it a mile. You had no question. You had to pick up their stuff and not grumble, and be happy about it, and carry it for a mile. Well, God's saying here, don't just carry it 1 mile. Carry it the next mile. I mean, what's that saying? That was God saying, look, this may be a bad thing. This may not be pleasant for us to do, but I want you to go the extra mile. I want you to get with it and go the extra mile here. Even with this government that was in charge at that time, they didn't like it, and we may not like what we've got today. But we're going to go the extra mile here. You know, we're going to go forward. Here we are in pre-post-COVID, if you can say it that way. It's going to come to an end with the vaccines. It may take some time. And we're going to be able to get out and go the extra mile in teaching others also. Now, in the New Testament, with this patterns here that he taught, and you start looking at the way he taught in this sermon here, he had repetition in there. In teaching God's word, we teach you that repetition works. And he talked about day-to-day life. He talked about accountability. He had sensitivity to certain groups in there. It was simplistic. He didn't talk over these people. Sometimes we can start studying God's word and we can get deep and talk about eschatology and all these theologies and dispensations and yon and on and all that. And all that's fine to study all that and understand all that. But we need to get back to the simplicity of the word. We need to get back to where are you saved and what saves you? And that comes back to our discipleship program that we need to get started back again. We need qualified people to be able to disciple others and build our church back up, build our nation back up. We can see evidence of that in our nation now that there's been a couple, two or three generations here that have been forgotten, have been left out. They've not been taught the Word. They've not been taught in a way that they understand. You can't just hammer people and preach and preach and preach down to them. You've got to teach them in love. That's what God's Word says here. Christ was teaching these folks that were under His Word at that time. Can you imagine being there and hearing that? And it has to be authoritative. You've got to know your subject. It's got to have a purpose. It's got to be practical. And you've got to ask questions. One of the things that it teaches in school is, as you're teaching, Gary Seaman was really good to do this. When he was teaching, he would always ask the question, well, what about this? Well, what do you think that says? To challenge our minds to think to the next level. You know, we just don't need to be, you know, Preacher Lashley, one of the great things that Preacher Lashley says, he says, that's just a birdbath Christian. When I first heard that, I said, what? And I got to thinking about it. A birdbath's not very deep. It's just like the Word is. You can just live on the surface of the Word and be a birdbath Christian and never wade in deep. Folks, we need to wade in. If we ever needed to wade in, we need to wade in right now for the next generation, for my kids and my grandbabies. We need to wade in. Praise the Lord. My kids got it. I just have to say, again, I'm just an old dumb creek boy, and I didn't know enough to know when I started going to church in a little independent Baptist church. I went to church and went to church and went to church and went to church and tried to do what God said, and God blessed that. Wasn't nothing I done, but God blessed it. If we do what God says, He'll always do what He says in any facet of life. And blessed my children. They all were saved and on and on. God's been good to me. And I know there's other families in this church the same way. God's been good to us. And all the folks out there listening from Buffalo Ridge, God has been, think what we've got here, what the history we've got, and what we've got from the past. Folks, just let's get ready to go forward for the cause of Christ. And the way we're going to do that is through the teaching and preaching of God's Word. Now, Pastor Herman can only do so much. He can stand at this pulpit and up front and teach and preach and preach and preach. But if he don't have some people behind him helping teach what he's preaching and bringing folks in, folks, it's going to be our responsibility to knock on doors, to get people to come when this COVID thing is over with, and we have this new, refreshed, beautiful Lashley Auditorium. It's going to be time for us to get out there and make phone calls and talk and call and knock on doors and say, will you please come to church? Can you please show up? Will you come with me? I'll meet you at the door. I'll pick you up. Whatever it takes to get people under the preaching of the Word of God. Then we get people in here and they get saved and then they need to be discipled. We can't drop discipleship. People need to be taught and they need to be brought along because they're just babes in Christ. And all that needs to be organized. I've got plenty of ways to organize through our Sunday school classes a discipleship program, and it's going to work beautifully. It's a really wonderful thing when all you set everything in order. You know, God's Word is order. God is a God of order. And we want to try as much as possible at our church to have orderly programs to be able to give people the tools to be able to teach God's Word out to others. Just the simplicity, and I'm saying simplicity, it's not simple. how to lead someone to Christ. We all say, well, I think I can do that, or I've done that before. But can we really? I mean, examine yourself right now. Do you have the understanding enough to lead someone in a discipleship, right? A young Christian. Now, folks, it's more than just teaching this word. You've got to love those people, and you've got to understand where they're at and where you're coming to with them. It takes a special connection to be able to teach people and help them understand more than just by faith you're saved. They have to understand that it's a lifestyle that they have to live, and on and on and on. You can go through the discipleship program and see what you need to do. Learning to teach, you know, you can look at Paul in the New Testament. Paul was a mighty teacher of God's Word. He got, you know, you can look at his, where he stood in front of governors and officers and the Roman government and people, and he taught from the point of authority. He knew the history of the Word. You know, God chose him to start and help start and get the New Testament church started. And you look back at why. This man was a Sanhedrin. He knew exactly what he was. He was educated in the Jewish religion and understand with the experience he had on the road to Damascus, and he knew who Jesus was and started understanding what Christ done on the cross. He knew their subject. He knew the people that he was preaching to or teaching to. He would apply the word of truth to them where they were at, whether they were fishermen or tax collectors or whoever they were. He could take that situation and apply it to them. You know, he used the Bible to get his point across. He used God's word to make his point to those folks in a way that they would understand it. We don't need to get off. I mean, we can start talking to people and they'll say, well, what's your opinion on post and pre-tribulation rapture? Or we can get off on diluvial or antediluvial and Noah and all that stuff back there. And was it really 7 days of creation? And on and on and on. And all that's fine to have a discussion about. But we want to keep people centered right back up on God's word and salvation. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know? Are you saved? As Preacher Lassie says, are you born again? You know, that born again thing has kind of went away with that generation. I can remember hearing it when I was a kid. Are you born again? Are you going to get born again? Are you saved, folks? That's the question we need to ask today. And if they say they are, they need to give us a reason why and how they got saved. And if they can't, they need to be discipled. They need to understand what to do. So the Bible gives us the authority to do that. It gives us all the meat that we need to do that. Of course, we've got all kinds of helps. You've got all kinds of helps. History helps. Detailed studies on every facet of the Word. You can go as deep and as far as you want to go. You know, we can look at 2 Timothy 2:15. It says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Oh, I can remember those Wednesday nights we sat in there and heard Pastor Lashley preach on rightly dividing the word. What a wonderful time that was. I'd like to hear that again. I'd like to teach it again. Matter of fact, I've got all these notes on that weeks and weeks of stuff. He handed that to me one day and said, here, I'd like you to have that to be able to sometime teach that in the future. That's a wonderful thing, rightly dividing the word. But we don't need to be, and what do we need to do to be able to do this? To do a Sunday school class? To do a discipleship with someone, one-to-one? You need to study. And you need to study some more. Folks, it takes some work. You know, reading the Scriptures, searching the Scriptures, comparing Scripture with Scripture, memorizing Scriptures, meditating on the Scriptures. Just slow down and think about what you're reading. Just like that one verse there in chapter 5 there a while ago. I slowed down enough to say, what's that saying right there? Compelling someone to go the mile or go the second mile. I mean, you can go as deep as you want. What does the passage say? You know, you need to determine, and I'm looking at some notes that I took from the School of the Bible at Crown, and it says, who is speaking or writing? You want to know who it is. It's always a pleasure to know. Read Paul's letters, epistles, the Bible. Well, who wrote it? Where was he at when he wrote it? Well, he was in prison. How in the world could a man write? And he wasn't just in a nice little cell. He was in the innermost prison. He was in a prison door, inside the innermost prison, down a hole, in chains, and wrote this letter to the New Testament churches. Amazing, amazing. When you start really looking at some of the things that Paul wrote and the situation he was in. So who's this passage being addressed to and why? Why? Who is it they're talking to? Where then did this event take place? I mean, you can just go on and on. What is the context of what, you know, what led up to this? Who are they talking to? And what happened after this? There are many parallel passages in the Scripture that help us understand the text. And your Bibles are laid out that way. It's so easy to study today. We just got to do it. And on it go. And one of the great things we can do is tell a story. Get a picture that is found in the text. And be able to just tell the story. It's a wonderful thing. I love to tell stories to my grandbabies. Oh, you start telling stories, they can just sit there and listen for hours on end. Folks like to hear stories. They like to hear true stories about the Bible, but we can take daily stuff. Stuff that's happened in my life. You know, how did I come to, in 1999, why did I move down to Tennessee? And why did I get here in Buffalo Ridge? I could tell you a story. That just didn't happen. That was God planned, prayed about, left the church that we'd been in 20-some years, raised our children in. But God gave us enough peace to know that He was going to take care of us through the Word. And that's another story that we can tell, our personal salvation story. I can tell you mine. When I got saved in the middle of the Cuban Missile Crisis. You think it's scary now? It was scary back then. People were talking about nuclear war. And that's why I got saved. I'd heard the truth, been preached the truth in church, and heard all that stuff. I got scared that the bomb was going to come over and kill me before I got saved. And I got saved at the age of 13 when that happened. And we think it's bad now. President Kennedy got assassinated that same year. It was on and on. It's always been something. Folks, we need to get past where we're at. We need to step up and get ready to go forward here. Just as soon as it gets safe for us to step up and go, we need to get ready to go. We need to get ready. We need to get loaded up and ready here. I got a few more minutes. Let's just go over a couple more things here. I want to look at discipleship and how we think about that. I'm going to go over an old book here that we've got, and Pastor Herman's probably going to do some, we're going to get together and do some new things. But one of the questions you ask in discipleship, know you have eternal life. How do you ask somebody that? What verses do you use? Of course, it's all written down here for us, talking about faith that saves and not by works. Then realize you are saved for eternity. Big subject right there. A lot of people believe they have to work to keep it. A lot of people have to believe they have to be baptized to get it. How can you have those discussions if you don't study? There's all kinds of people here that want to help you. You can ask us questions to our staff or me or whoever, and we can help you find the right answers for those kind of things. You know, how do you deal with sin? You get saved first. And, you know, a lot of people want to deal with the sin first and then get saved. No, let's get saved. Let's trust Christ, and then God can come in your heart and salvation, and the Holy Spirit will help them deal with sin in their life. Folks, it's a big decision. Some people's lifestyles, when they walk away, you know, you go on the mission field and you hear these people, when they get saved, they're defamilied, they have to get away, and they have to move to another town, and all those things go on the foreign mission field with some of these religious sects that we have that are run by the devil. Of course, if somebody gets saved and wants to get away from that, then they're threatening their lives. In today's world, we've got people so hung up in society and lifestyles, and if they decide that they're going to trust Christ, it is not going to be an easy thing without God's help for them to walk away from some of the situations that they're in. And they need help. They need Bible verses. They need God on their side and how to deal with sin and how to deal and walk away from those peer pressure groups. And then we need to talk about, how do you talk about baptism? How do you tell somebody that they don't need to be baptized to be saved, but they need to follow God in believer's baptism? There's a whole discussion that you can have there for days with people for them to understand. Then you need to talk about spending time in God's Word daily. Folks, we need to read the Word, read the Word, read the Word daily. And on, and help people understand that they need to do that. Talk about God's prayer. How do you pray? Some people probably have never prayed. Think about that. Is there somebody in your social realm that may have never prayed a word to God? Think about that. Folks, I'm just talking to you today. You think about what we've got in front of us here at this great church. There's so many people moving into this area. The housing is booming. Thousands and thousands of people moving into this area, and they need the Lord. And who's going to do it if we don't? Who's going to do it if we don't? We can't say, well, our pastor will do it. He can't get it all done. And then attend church faithfully. You know, one of the things that we really need to do is we through our Sunday schools, and Pastor Lassley did this years ago to get this church to where it's at today, he built this church on Sunday school. And there is no doubt in my mind that we need personal relationships with people. They just don't need to come. They need to come and sit in church and hear it, but they need somebody that can talk to them and know them and have a personal relation with them and have dinner with them and take them out to lunch and say, are you coming to Sunday school next week? And on and on and on, and have personal discussions about godly things. We can talk about everything in the world and be on the surface. Folks, how long has it been since you just sat around with family and kids and friends and just had a discussion besides talking about the COVID or talking about the government or talking about this or that, and talk about what Christ is saying in the Word? Folks, we need to get back to the basics here. We really do, and we want to give you the tools. Pastor wants to give you the tools to do that. You know, we need to teach people as they get going about giving to God. We need to teach people how you tell others. You know, you bring this discipleship all the way through and talk about teaching others. Folks, it's time for us to consider what we're going to do with this next generation. You remember back in the day when you see this Uncle Sam poster and he had this big finger sticking out and he says, I want you to join the military. Folks, God's finger's out, and he wants you He wants you and you and you to step up for the cause of Christ and teach others also. We're going to have the tools for that here. Pastor Herbin's working on it. We want to re-engage our discipleship program. Most likely we're going to re-engage the School of the Bible, Tri-City School of the Bible this coming fall. And folks, be a part of all this. If you don't know, get here, let us know. We'll help you. We'll train you. God's good, folks, and He wants to see people saved. And we want to save this part of our world and get them in this new church building that we're going to have and get them under God's preaching, and then we can teach them. Thank you for listening to me. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You so for all that You've done for us. Thank You for Christ and what You did on the cross most of all. That shed blood that saves our ever-dying soul. Lord, we just thank You so for that. Lord, help us to look in our hearts and look in our minds and impress on us that we need to step up and train this next generation that we have coming after us. It's time. We don't have a lot of time. It's time for us to step up and train and teach and move on for the cause of Christ. Lord, we love You. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.